Philippi was one of Paul's early church plants. It was located within a Roman colony in what today would be called Greece. It's interesting, if you dive into the history more, there's even some proof that some of the attendees of the Church of Philippi were maybe retired Roman officers, people in the government that just went there because it was a very prestigious area to retire, per se. And so that was a, you know, it wasn't just Jews and, yes, the Gentiles, but some of them were coming out of the Roman Empire for many reasons to come and join a church. Paul is in jail when he's writing this and is thanking the church for their care of him and prayers. He becomes an encourager from inside his cell. In the first few chapters that we're going to focus on, you're going to see where he highlights love and joy are working in us. And we are that same church of Philippi. Christ can work in us because he is with us. There's power in unity. Church, stay undistracted. These are Paul's sentiments, and certainly in the first chapter. Above all, bring the good news. He has some urgency we're going to hear about bringing the good news. And I'm not apologizing, but my voice is where it is right now. So we believe it's going to go well through this. Above all, bringing the good news. So there's an urgency. Paul has been urgent in many other letters as too. He's very close to this church because it's an early church he planted, obviously, and really has a lot of investment into them and just has a good sinking with them that really wants them to do well more than some other churches, I believe. But above all, bring the good news. And you're going to hear a few times that he's saying you need to bring the good news, not because you need to be busy doing something, but you need to bring the good news because Christ is returning soon. You'll hear that with a lot of apostles. You read those epistles and everything, that there's an urgency that Christ is coming back. So if it was 1,000 plus years there, and we're 2026, we're probably getting a lot closer, right? So let's get in here. Philippians 1:1-3. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, voluntary, fully focused, devoted to, surrendered to Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God, and this is so great when Paul would write a lot of letters, and take this to heart too. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Boy, if you don't know what to pray over people, I pray you have divine grace and peace moving forward. And that's what Paul would start with, all these salutations every time. Every time I think of you, so here's this kind of intimacy with the Church of Philippi, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Keep in mind, he's writing this from jail. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it and until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Stop putting so much pressure on yourself to be the good Christian and be perfect. He's still working on you. He's still working you. He's still working on you. You are sometimes a construction site. Can we be human for a minute? We can't fix ourselves. That's the first thing. So let's work on that. God will work on us wherever we are. And Paul's even alluding to that God is going to make you holy, set apart. He talks about that in other letters. A royal priesthood, holy, set apart. But he continues his work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns and we are fully restored. We talked about that a little bit more in End of Age. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassions of Christ Jesus. Continue. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing. Growing in what? The knowledge and understanding, aka knowledge and understanding of God. It's an ongoing process. Knowledge and understanding. Aaron talked about that Wednesday a little bit, about how important it is to get understanding. I can know a lot, but if I don't apply it to any understanding in real time what's going on, I'm pretty much inefficient in my life. Knowledge and understanding. Paul is making sure, grow in that. For I want you to understand that really matters, so that you may live. I want to camp here for a minute. Live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ returns. When we begin to surrender our lives to Christ, there's a purity that begins to permeate our heart more than ever before. That our purity is, you're God, I'm not, you love me, and I love you. Right? Pure. It doesn't mean we're perfect in that purity, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are blameless. It doesn't give us a license to never be perfect, because we'll never be perfect. Only Jesus is, until the finishing work is coming. But we live pure. Sometimes we took so much, we get distracted to be perfect Christians, when Jesus is saying, I know you're not perfect. That's why you need me. And when you need me, live pure in the heart. Make sure your heart is pure, and then I will call you blameless. So important. And live this until the day, here we hear again, till Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. This is a whole other message right here. I'm saved, but I don't have any fruit. And we're all somewhere. Make sure your salvation is producing fruit. If you get thrown in front of a court tomorrow and the prosecutor says, I can't find any proof that you're a Christian, but you claim you are, Paul is assuming that there's fruit growing from our salvation. So important. We emphasize the watering system of Christianity so much, which is so important, your devotion and discipleship. You need that. But we focus on so much, read the word, pray, do this and that, that we never spend time to say, well, there should be some fruit coming out of that. Because there's no fruit coming out of it, that you just formed a new religion. And you have fun doing that, but it's not getting you anywhere. And you're doing it in your own efforts in the long run. Does that make a little sense? We'll get out of that one. The righteousness character produced in your life by Christ Jesus, for this will bring much, much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. He's all in. We know that. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, he's in jail, remember, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Can any of us say that? I'm not saying we want to go to jail. I'm just saying, he's saying, I'm in jail, but God's word and influence is influencing the people around me as I'm in bars in prison, because it's beyond bars. Knows that I am in chains because of Christ, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some of our preachers, out of jealousy and rivalry, so now he's talking about other preachers at other churches or just in that sect. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ. Here we go again, with pure motives. Amen. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambitions, not sincerity, intending to make my chains more painful to me. FCC cares. Here's a little note. When you're listening to a lot of preachers outside of this room, and we're not perfect, make sure you're getting discernment that there's no selfish ambition going on. And also this is the hidden thing. So I wasn't going to mention it. Well, we'll mention it. The hidden thing is, in a lot of celebrity pastors and things like that, and if that's what God's ordained, that's fine. But we've got to always pray that when pastors get in big positions and they've never dealt with this, that they don't realize the sphere of influence they have, that who they're preaching to. And it becomes a validation that they need instead of what God needs. You have to be very careful about that. And that's false teaching. That's part of it. It's not like a big doctrinal shift. Some of them aren't like that. They're just like, wait a minute, you're self-ambition there. There's something more there. And anyhow, not sincere, intending to make my chains more painful. But then he continues in this thought. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. God used a donkey. He'll use us. The message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. There's been a lot of, even you get on YouTube and stuff like that, and there's a lot of Christians critiquing other Christians a lot. And they're making it a full-time ministry. And it's showing the world just wonderful things. I'm not saying that we need to evade accountability with people doing wrong. But they're making it their own ministry. I don't find a lot of biblical findings that say your international ministry is to critique other ministries and bring them down. You know, the Holy Spirit's good at that. He's the great convictor. He doesn't need a new YouTube channel either. For I know that's your pray for me. Okay, you go. Preach either way, I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Keep going. For I am fully expected and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ. Whether I live or die, this is some deep stuff here, but he's in prison, so it can't get any worse, I guess. Whether I live or die, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying, oh, that won't fill a church. Dying, it is even better. Sounds like a person that's been in the presence of God a lot, that knows that I would rather have seen Jesus face to face than living in this earth. But he continues, he gives us some caveats. He says, but if I live, I can be more fruitful, work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sake, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can retire on a beach. No, I can remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Above all, you must, he's making this declaration back to the church, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. The enemy loves when we can't be one. When we can't be one by different denominations, by different thinkings, by different, my music, I prefer this, this is that, the division in churches, and we're not even there's no power when there's no unity. Not that we agree on everything, but do we at least agree that he's God, we're not, Jesus is Lord, and we're called to bring people to Christ. And he's coming back soon, by the way, and we need to be urgent about that. Can we all agree on that with one in spirit and one purpose, fighting together for faith, which is the good news? He begins to land the plane here. Don't be intimidated in any way by, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. He's not talking about in-laws. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed because you're not intimidated by them. They're not distracting you. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting Christ, that is a privilege, but also the privilege of suffering with him. Ooh, there's a lot here. We get, and I think I'll talk about it in a minute more, we get so distracted about, some of us, what other people are saying about us. Get so distracted that if somebody doesn't think like me, do things like me, whatever like me, that he's that instant enemy, and that my focus needs to not have my enemy win over me. This is ABC stuff. It's not hard, right? But Paul's very saying, don't be intimidated and don't even set your mind on them. Yes, it would be nice if we could save them and bring them to Christ, and the Holy Spirit can lead that and draw them, all men unto him. But this will be a sign that they are going to be destroyed because I'm not even bothered by them in some way. You've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but the privilege of suffering. Discipleship, when we decide, and we'll talk about discipleship more, and I really would encourage if you can take get involved in the discipleship group. It's amazing. We believe in it so much that we said 10 weeks we're going to do this. You know, we're committing that much duration, so it's that important. No matter how long you've been a Christian or not, we want to encourage you to get involved in that. Because discipleship is, if we're not being discipled, what are we doing? So if you're being discipled, it gets a little heavy, though, because then I'm becoming my end result of being more, if I'm discipling, my goal is to become more like Christ. This is scriptural. But then if I'm becoming more like Christ, it's a privilege to be more like Christ. But there's also some suffering that might be involved. And you won't hear that from a lot of consumer churches. Because there is suffering for Christ. Do you realize Christ had to suffer so you could be his reward? We want this, give it to me now, kind of mentality in Christianity. That you will have suffering. Yeah, but is that the devil? Yeah, it could be the devil. It could be your own bad decisions. It could be many different things. But it could be you in the Garden of Gethsemane at some point saying, let this cup pass. He knew he was about to suffer. But in that suffering, he gained a reward. Suffering leads to judgment. Judgment leads to reward. So we do, Paul is reminding the church, you may have to suffer at some point. Amen. Everybody runs around the building on that one. Let's continue, this is the last verse. We are in this struggle together. So he's even saying there's a struggle. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you don't know that I am still in the midst of it. Sounds like an honest leader. In chapter 1, which we just read, we see a messenger in prison, but this message cannot be contained in prison. He's writing this from prison. He's influencing the people around him. God has not perfected you yet, but is still working in us. If our motives are pure, then God's grace makes us blameless. Just to review chapter 1 here. This at the end he's talking about. The Spirit is a giver, the Holy Spirit to change things in us and around us, and also a gift to deliver final glory. What do you mean by that? Well, you remember Paul was talking about, if I die, it may be a better place to be. He's talking about the giver. The gift could be my final glory in front of Jesus, is what he's saying. Sometimes we think we have the answer of what God needs to provide for us. All right, let's go to chapter 2. Philippians 2, 1 through 2. Is there any, and we'll, I think we'll make it to maybe verse 18. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? He's speaking to the church here. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working on our own ministry? No, working together with one mind and purpose. The unity that he's getting back to. He gets more clear that, church, you got to understand that the power you've been wanting for and longing for is in the unity through the body of Christ. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Amen, glory, hallelujah. Don't look out only for your own interests, oh boy, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, so he gets into the deity here. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as someone to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, Jesus, Son of Man. He took the humble position of a slave. Slave, willingly, all authority to my master, Abba Father, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, this is suffering, then the reward. Then God elevated him to a place of high honor, and we need to know we have this name, gave him the name above all other names, that in the name of Jesus, some, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some of us become too timid about sharing our faith. And that's okay. I understand. And it's not a big witnessing tool. Just be who you are and you have a story and your testimony is what God's probably done in your life. That's all you need to share. But we get timid about it. But like, wait a minute. And this isn't a cocky attitude, but wait a minute. Every knee's going to bow. I'm just trying to usher it along a little bit. I've got heaven backing me up to say what I need, that the Holy Spirit's telling me to say, to share my faith with others, because every knee is going to bow. Vladimir Putin might have to bow his knee soon. Any other dictator, we won't get into politics, but they're all going to have to bow. Oh, you're ahead of everybody. Congratulations. Dear friends, you always follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. It's a daily work, people, right? We know that. I've found out the hard way sometimes. It's a daily work, our salvation. It's our discipleship, our devotion, our prayer, our reading the Word, what we said earlier, and our worship. Work hard in the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Not fear I'm going to get struck by lightning, but fear he's God and I'm not. He's God. This earth is his field. It's his ball. We were created by him. For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. As we said earlier, when we surrender ourselves to God more and more, the power will come in because he can work with the desires that he's transforming, that we're giving our life to him, because his will is going to work in our lives and power can come through that. Surrendering to do everything. This is a big one. I think every translation, I tried to skip this, but it all comes out this way. Do everything without complaining and arguing. We live in a very combative culture, right? Instant anger. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Some of you in your fast, I believe, heard that you might be complaining too much. Run with it. We're all somewhere. Run with that. Because that complaining, complaining is the opposite of thankfulness, right? And complaining doesn't allow God to work in you anyway. He's not going to revolutionize your will. I mean, if you're complaining, you're basically folding your arms to God. Arguing. We always want to argue, right? Right? Argue. My dad was a debate. We can debate and arguing. But about what? What is it eternal things we're arguing about? So that no one can criticize you. So he's saying, don't do it so no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright lights into a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly, boy, this reads now, 2026. Hold firmly to the word of life. We've been talking about the Bible. That's the written word. Read it, digest it, but it needs to point to life, which is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then on the day of Christ's return, so he's throwing that in again, Paul, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I rejoice. Whoa, this isn't on anybody's refrigerator, is it? But I rejoice even if I lose my life. Pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. All right, let's do a little review here. In chapter 2, we begin to see the importance of unity in that God can bring power into our individual lives then greater as a church body. Unity, so important. We also see, like a pastoral address Paul did to the church, that there is opposition. He's identifying it. But don't be distracted by them. So important. In this time, there was either Judaizers for Mosaic Law or Jews and Greeks that were kind of coming into the church here and just trying to question doctrine or give, one was under circumcision, other things, and trying to shift what the way was being taught in the church of Philippi. What are the things today that could throw us off course as oppositions? Don't answer it. They're out there. If we focus too much on it, we'll get distracted by them. Paul also reassures the church that it is God who is at work, not our great Christian duty. God who is at work in you and around you. Just trust and obey. These two simple things. Although they're simple up here, and then they get down here, hopefully. But just trust God and obey Him. Then the calling and purpose that He has for us. We can know that opposition is not a surprise to God towards His people. I mean, just look at the Old Testament. We're talking about different nations going against each other. But some of the testimonies in those Old Testaments of like Jehoshaphat just sitting there going, "Lord, my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do. We're being camped by all these hundreds of armies about to kill and slaughter us. But I know you are good, God," and He steps in. I mean, God will step in on any oppression. Don't let us try to solve the opposition on how to solve it. Let God do His work. That's what Paul was saying earlier. We are to view our faithful serving to God as a sacrifice poured out under His altar. So we're serving God. A life of sacrifice living under God and in the light that shines in the darkness. And we can sustain that by the power alone. There is freedom. This is what the enemy doesn't want people to see. And I know you guys see it, but I just need to talk about it. The enemy doesn't really want to let us know the freedom that is in Christ. He wants to put the do's and don'ts in front of you of all the work that you have to do. And it's not really you, it's the Holy Spirit. That you get so fogged in that you don't forget that, wait a minute, I can actually have freedom in Christ. Or I can have peace in a storm. We're going to have wisdom to take a left when everybody else wants to go right. Freedom from daily consecration that we have in our devotion to God. Where are you as we land the plane here? We talked about trust, joy, unity, passion, power. Are you getting distracted at times? and not experiencing the fullness of what God wants for you, and trusting Him, and having the joy, and the unity of the body, and the passion, and the power, and the perfection that He does in us. Where are you in that? It's very easy to get distracted in life. We have responsibilities that seem to be increasing daily, and they're good. Not all of them are bad. Family, different things. We have more expectations that we put on people and that people put on us. That can get us distracted too. We have a culture and world events. I mean, just go to the CNN, Fox News. You can get distracted very easily, right? I mean, you need to be informed, but when it begins to define your day, that's not information. That's gone, especially as children of the living God. But we can get distracted by culture and world events. We can get distracted by people's opinions and accusations, good or bad. We can get distracted individually, and if we do it individually, then certainly as a church, it's going to be hard to get to go where God wants us to go to. Because you are the church. Individually, we come together to be the church. But we got to be undistracted by things. It's getting darker out there, right? So it's very important to be aware of what we're called and our purpose is to do in 2026 and beyond. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we just speak through your Holy Spirit to us if there's areas in our lives that we may have distractions, whether you brought them to our attention during this recent fast. Let us be realigned to your will in our lives. Let us know that there is true freedom in Christ, where we don't have to worry, we don't have to have condemnation, we don't have to have fear, we don't have to have depression, we don't have to have all these things if the Holy Spirit is in us and we're not distracted. Lord, we know we were born into this fallen world, so there's plenty of distractions around us. But let us continue in our discipleship to hear your voice daily, to keep us on the lanes we need to be in life, to love one another, to think highlier of others than even ourselves, to seek unity, to become more like you, Jesus. Allow that to minister to us. If we have needs, like we are going through these things, your loving power breaks chains in our lives. Where we've had no hopelessness, you are our hope. Where we've been wronged and we have unforgiveness, you have forgiven us. Let us rest in you and not be distracted outside of you. You say in Matthew, Jesus, you were very clear, come to me who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's rest in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Just this week, too, the words of John the Baptist were so powerful. Just, we know it, but do we live it? He knew right away when he saw the name of God.
The church that love is building. And we're glad you could join us today. Thank you for joining on a Saturday night, which is so unusual because we're always here on Sunday morning. But due to tomorrow's storm, they decided to move it and keep everybody safe, and no one has to drive during the bad weather. I'm here with my friend Cindy Acoin tonight, and we're happy that you joined us today. Pastor Chris was given a good message on being undistracted. Mm. Had you ever heard that word before, undistracted?
No, it was kind of new for me, undistracted. It made me think. It was really a good thought, definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, the church, we were all fasting last week, and one of the things that the Lord impressed upon my heart was time management, not getting distracted by all the little things. You know, we can be doing so much for God and so many things that we have no time for Him. Mm-hmm. And part of what was going on with me was calls. Mm-hmm. You know, someone needs this, and can you do that? Yeah. Or could you help with this over here? When I knew I needed to be spending my time in the Word in the morning and filling up, because the Word of God is the power of God. And like Pastor Chris said, absolutely, unity power comes from unity. Yes. And without the Word of God, we don't have that anointing on what we're doing,
right,
or what we're saying. And that's where we find that we can pour out the love of God,
yes,
to other,
yes,
people.
Yes.
And the mercy of God is when we're filled, mm-hmm, with the Spirit, mm-hmm, of God. So distraction was really something on my mind in managing my time better. Mm. And I know you were just telling me that you were getting some of these same things.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like distractions come in all kinds of different ways. And mine was probably because I can do worry. I worry a lot about certain things, if finances, or, you know, things aren't going well with family, or so I get distracted and I give into that worry. Yeah. And if I actually just spent more time with the Lord, which I mm-hmm, do, and I've come to that place, yeah, where I spend more time with Him, and that's in His Word, yeah, and in, you know, in Psalms and hymns, I spend time with just worshiping, right, Him and reading the Word, right, and finding that all of a sudden I have that freedom. Mm-hmm. I have that freedom to worship Him, and I have the freedom of those things that kind of fall to the wayside. Those, right, distractions,
yes,
are no longer distractions.
Yes.
He gives us that freedom, mm-hmm, to be able to focus on Him. And I find that so true.
That's
that,
right,
when we give to God, draw near to God,
right,
and He will draw
near
to you. So
that's,
it's
right,
definitely a principle that He has, yeah, given us.
That's great. That's, mm-hmm, great. That is so, it just fits with what everyone's been saying this week about spending that time with Him,
yes,
first, because,
yes,
then what's important rises to the surface,
yep,
and the other things, distractions, fall away.
Right, right.
You know, the scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding.
Yep.
In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. And that's what I have found this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put aside those distractions, put Him first.
Yes.
And I'm able, it's easier,
yes,
to trust Him with,
yes,
all my heart.
Yes.
And I really have enjoyed what I learned from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not amazing. Actually, the Spirit of God's moving, that Pastor Chris is speaking about the very same things that,
yes,
have been on our,
yes,
hearts.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And this week, for people that don't know and that are not here tonight, Pastor Chris had set a week of prayer and fasting. So a lot of the people in the church have been praying and fasting. And sometimes it's not easy to do. There's,
that's
certain,
right,
things that you give up, and,
yeah,
you spend that time, you know, with Him. So that's one, yeah, of the reasons, and I feel like a lot of people, yeah, have done that this week, and they can say, wow, you know, I have a little bit of clarity,
yes,
you know, and
exactly,
just I can see what, you know, God moving in my life. And,
right,
and it's the same thing for those who, it's a principle. You draw, right, nigh to God, He draw nigh to you.
That's right.
And it's a wonderful, God, it has so much to give us and,
yeah,
so much to give you when you, right, spend that time with Him.
That's so right. You're so right. I love it. And then we have it to pour out.
Yes.
You know, like I,
yes,
said, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people out there, they're suffering. You know,
yes,
people that are,
yes,
sick, they need healing,
yeah,
or they're caught up in addictions or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
we need to be filled so that we can give to them, so we can bless them,
mm-hmm,
so they can see the love of,
yes,
God. Because with,
yeah,
a lot of people, the only Bible they'll ever read, the only way they'll ever see God is through,
right,
us.
Yeah.
They'll know us by our love.
Yes,
so we,
yes,
encourage you to be in the Word and,
mm-hmm,
enjoy the Lord, mm-hmm, as we've been doing this week. And,
mm-hmm,
if you can, come on out Wednesday nights. We have,
yes,
a service. It's like more of a Bible study. And that's at 7:30. Sunday mornings is 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number on your screen,
mm-hmm,
and you can text that number, and it's monitored all the time, and,
mm-hmm,
someone will get back to you to answer your questions. So we love you. We're glad you're here with,
mm-hmm,
us, and,
yes,
I'm glad Cindy could join us today.
Well, thanks,
thank
for
you,
having
Cindy.
Me. Thanks for having me.
And God bless you all. Have a great week, and stay safe tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.